time in his career. By the way, you can see Mexico and South Africa right now on Fox. Stanley Cup Final Game 5 as the Golden Knights and Hurricanes skate at 8 o'clock Eastern time. That series is tied up at 2 games apiece. The Denver Broncos and head coach Sean Payton have agreed to terms on a new contract. ESPN says it's a new 5-year deal for Payton, who had 2 years left on his original contract. He's now locked in through 2030. Kansas City Chiefs are trading offensive tackle Wanya Morris to the Atlanta Falcons. Sahith Theegala leads the Canadian Open at 6-under par in first-round play. Marlins on top of the Diamondbacks 2-0 in the 7th. Tigers routing the Twins 8-0 in the 7th.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar & Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, Purdue University's new USMCA affordability study finds that tariff reductions under North American trade agreements have helped lower food prices by roughly $700 per year, or about 7% of household food expenditures. The study shows that every 1% reduction in food tariffs corresponds with about a 2.8% decrease in consumer food prices. The study warns that without USMCA, tariffs could rise by an average of 7.4%. Well, the USDA confirmed 3 additional cases of flesh-eating New World screwworm, 2 more in Texas and another in New Mexico. The Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service says the 2 Texas cases affected a calf in LaSalle County and a goat in Gillespie County. APHIS clarified a 5th case was reported Monday in a dog in the Texas bordering Andrews County, the first case detected in New Mexico. And AccuWeather meteorologists say El Nino conditions have likely developed in the tropical Pacific and could have significant implications for U.S. agriculture over the next 2 years. Some experts say the pattern could strengthen rapidly and even develop into a rare super El Nino. AccuWeather meteorologist Paul Pestalic says this El Nino will most likely begin soon and strengthen quickly, bringing wetter conditions to parts of the Southwest and drier weather in some already drought-stricken regions.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us, they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with the major averages gaining steam in the afternoon trading after President Trump said that he's calling off new military strikes on Iran. And chipmakers are bouncing back after yesterday's declines, and some of the memory stocks that have benefited most from the AI boom are also coming back, with shares of memory chipmaker Micron Technology, SanDisk, and Western Digital advancing. And Oracle's earnings highlighting the huge cost of the AI boom. Its shares are plunging 10% after the software and cloud computing company reported reported larger than forecast spending on data centers. And Intel stock is soaring 6%. Its stock has already tripled this year, but analysts at Bank of America's Securities say that the chipmaker is still widely ignored, with analysts at the Wall Street firm giving Intel a double upgrade. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us, and it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
When are public servants not public servants? When they go on strike. This is an issue which must be resolved and can be by public action. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, quote, "A strike of public employees manifests nothing less than an intent on their part to prevent or obstruct the operations of government until their demands are satisfied. Such action, looking toward the paralysis of government by those who have sworn to support it, is unthinkable and intolerable," unquote. FDR summed it up pretty well. His words mean that those who choose government employment become a part of the government establishment and are sworn to uphold it. Their employers are not their immediate superiors or even the elected representatives of the people. Their true employers are the people. No amount of rhetoric or reciting of cliches such as second-class citizen can change the fact that there is a fundamental difference between private and public employment. In the fiscal year that ended in October 1975, some 316,000 government workers at all levels engaged in unauthorized and illegal work stoppages a total of 490 times. They struck for a total of almost 2.5 million work days in that one year, generally over wages and hours. Tragically, the worst offenders were our teachers, those we trust to implant standards of conduct, concepts of trust and responsibility in tomorrow's citizens. There are almost 10 million full-time state and local employees, and more than half now belong to employee organizations. Some refusing to join such organizations have been forced to contribute dues to the organizations they refuse to join, and the Supreme Court has upheld this coercion. In my own state, the citizens of California have an opportunity to do something about this situation. Disturbed by a change in the law which gave teachers' unions the right to bargain for non-members, professional teachers and other citizens have formed a committee for individual rights. This committee is circulating petitions to put a proposed constitutional amendment on the ballot in 1978. So far, they have attracted an impressive array of endorsements from office holders, chambers of commerce, and other organizations such as the Professional Educators Group, National Association of Professional Educators, and the Professional Educators of Los Angeles. Their proposed amendment would make it, quote, "unlawful for any public employee or any employee organization, directly or indirectly, to induce, instigate, encourage, authorize, ratify, or participate in a strike against any public employer," unquote. The measure continues spelling out what enforcement of this prohibition would entail. Quote, "Any violation by a public employee shall result in mandatory dismissal and in the loss of tenure or seniority, and in the event that such employee has both tenure and seniority, the loss of both," unquote. Anyone dismissed for striking could not be reinstated, but would have to take his or her chances of being rehired as a new employee. The amendment frees each employee from obligation to be represented by an organization as a prerequisite to employment. It also states that dues or fees cannot be imposed as a condition for hiring, nor can there be an assessment of such fees for political purposes. I'll assure you, the National Education Association will come out against this proposal. But I hope my fellow Californians will rally round and help provide the 500,000 signatures needed to put this on the ballot. It is time for the citizenry of all the 50 states to declare that public employees cannot strike. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. We're going to be talking about the recent criminal charges against Ernest Hall, but I'm going to start by going over another article on Cal Coast News. Gibson spreads misinformation. Sloan County denies district attorney funding. I suggest everybody read it. I know a couple other people have talked about the district attorney's funding being blocked, but they were listening. When you have a 20-some-year-old reporter that doesn't know process and hasn't watched 20 budget hearings at the county, they may not know how this works. And it was an unusually deceptive board of supervisors with outright lies being told by people like Bruce Gibson and others. And how the budget process generally works is they ask each department to put together a budget, you know, the fall of the year before, and say, you know, in December, give us a budget that you would like. And then the staff tries to put things together in January and February. And then in March, they come out with suggestions, and then they go in and they make a ton of changes. And they go over why you should put more money on roads, pull it out of social services. They bicker over it. That's the way it's done. So Jimmy Paulding was saying they changed the way it's done. Jimmy's the chair. And instead, they looked at the budget from the year before and either gave them what they had the year before. Some of them they gave more. They didn't ask them to weigh in. And I was told that Bruce Gibson, by someone at the county, Bruce Gibson specifically told Matt, I want money taken out of the DA's office. I want you to remember, they already pulled, they're already three positions down from when they asked him to cut in 23 and 24. So they're three positions down. They don't even have a receptionist in the office anymore. So it's kind of a big deal. But this year, Jimmy was saying, well, we hired a county administrator, Matt Pontus. We should just do whatever he says and accept the budget that he proposed. Wait a minute. Last year, Jimmy and Gibson had $4 million moved around that they didn't like the way it was done. And now they're saying whatever Matt says in this new way goes. And so why this is important is the district attorney's office, there is a rape case here. Remember the mother I had on with the 8-year-old that was raped? That man, that happened in 24. He got out on bail. He's seen around town. The people see him there were three different families that this man molested. The reason this is important, he's still out on bail. They haven't had time to get him into court. Their caseload is way up because of all the thefts. They're up massively with caseload with more people. The budget put out is to take 4.5% out of their budget, they're going to have to fire four more people. It's going to take forever. This is safety. This is law and order. This is shocking to me. But they weren't telling the truth. Jimmy Paulding knows how that goes. Just because you say it doesn't make it factual. The other thing that was said that was very bad at that meeting, you had Pontus saying, you had Bruce Gibson asked Pontus, trying to make it sound like Dan Dow hadn't asked for the money correctly. I got a text message from Dan Dow where Pontus says he's going to get those other positions for him. Don't worry about it. And that was May 29th. What happened between then and now? I don't know. Then the bigger one at the very end, we can't give Dan Dow money. Now, remember, they don't like Dan Dow in office because he's not a Democrat. And they don't like the fact that he's going after, I don't know why, but he's going after corruption. And there's a group of people trying to get him out. Bruce Gibson said he's got a deplorable conviction rate. And he said that that's part of the reason he should be able to operate the money we're already giving him. And he's got a deplorable conviction rate, so he doesn't know how to do his job. That wasn't another just outright, let's call it what it is, it's a lie. He has one of the highest conviction rates in the state. He had an 85.8% conviction rate in 23-24 and an 82.4 in 24-25. What I got out of this was if you say it in public and nobody can argue against you, the media needs to come out and point out these lies. They need to say what's going on. And I want to talk about Matt Pontus. For those that don't remember, he's only been here for about 2 years. And he ran from office having done a grand theft case. He was convicted of grand theft. He was in Santa Barbara County, convicted. He's had other jobs where he had problems there. And the Tribune was writing, that was decades ago. You need to give the guy a chance. And now Jimmy wants to give him complete budget control, someone with a conviction for a grand theft conviction in his background. And why did Bruce Gibson and Jimmy Paulding want a man with a grand theft conviction in his background? You got to just look at, how does this happen? It's shocking that he got this position with his background and he's putting out misinformation in front of the Board of Supervisors when they ask him questions. What it says is Bruce Gibson tells him to say something, he's going to answer it. He said when Bruce asked him, he goes, are you going to promote him getting the extra money? He goes, well, I haven't had a chance to look at what he wants and the numbers, and I'm not going to at this time. What? So they're not going to have the money they need to operate the DA's office. There is the option of going, if they feel they need to enough, they can actually sue the county to fund them more, because if you have a mandated, they have more mandates than they used to that include, they're mandated to watch all these video cameras. And if you don't have the staff, if they keep taking people out, you've got to get cases moving through the system. So it's kind of a mess. And that's kind of one of the reasons I'm bringing this up at the beginning of this show is what you have is you have somebody that had ethical issues in their background. They had ethical and those kind of problems in the past. And I'm bringing that up because we are going to be talking about the Paso Robles Cannabis Dubs Green Garden. It's owned by Grace Hall under the name Grace Johnson. She goes by both names. It's owned by her. Her husband's not, Ernest Hall is not listed as an owner. And I think it probably has a lot to do with his criminal history, but he's not listed as an owner. And for those, there were some issues with him selling cannabis. He does not have they don't have a recreational license. They only have a medical license. They've been selling recreational for years. They've been getting away with it for years. They finally had a sting, and they were clearly selling it. Ernest is facing charges for that. And then at the same time, and now we get a little interesting. So what happened last, it was about a week ago, I think a week and a day ago, you had a man from Fresno and his wife. They were here on vacation, and they wanted to go. They're from Fresno. They were just visiting the area. I don't know if it was a vacation, but visiting. And they look up a cannabis dispensary in Dubs Green Garden with their address shows up. So they drove over, parked in the parking lot, walked up to the thing, and they told me, you don't have a sign. There was no name on the building, no sign. They're standing there looking at the door, and he tells his wife, I'm going to walk around back and see if they have their entrance in the back. Before he even leaves that area, Ernest comes running around, and this is from the couple. Ernest comes running around, yelling at them, basically, according to them, he was threatening them. And then he comes up to headbutt the guy and doesn't do a full headbutt. Hits him with his hat, does a slight headbutt. And then they get yelling at each other. And he tells them he's going to break his jaw. This is Ernest. He's going to break his jaw. He's going to beat him up. And this is from the wife of the man. Ernest, Grace Hall and her two daughters come around out of the building and they tell Ernest to stop and that these guys are customers. You're overreacting. You're out of control. You need to calm down. But then the guy calls him the N-word. And in some people's mind, everything that happened before doesn't count anymore. He called him the N-word. Ernest is now in the right. It doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter that Ernest, physically assaulted this man or battered this man. That's all out the window because the man used the N-word. He regrets using the N-word. Wish it hadn't happened. He was angry. Ernest was also yelling the N-word. So they were both using the same word. Ernest called the man a number of things I can't say on the air. But it was ugly, and the daughter got out and filmed after he used, before, when it started getting ugly, she filmed a short part. But here's where it gets interesting. Ernest then posted on his Facebook page, and he says on his Facebook page that he believes it was an undercover Paso Robles police officer that did this. He later realizes that, and he puts up the video as his stepdaughter took, and puts it online on Facebook, noting that at the time he believed it was a police officer. I don't know how many of you would try to headbutt someone you thought was a police officer. It kind of takes away from you're the good guy here and everyone else is bad. But Ernest put it up to show what he said was how racist this area is, that this happened to him because he was black. He's definitely playing the victim card. He's definitely going at it. But the couple just drove away and they weren't going to do anything. But then the Halls started posting all over social media that this couple was racist, that they own a business, putting out addresses. They were afraid for their children. They're afraid for their family. They're afraid for their lives. And then, according to the couple, they started getting voice messages from Grace Hall saying they were going to come to Fresno and finish what they started. They turned it in as a threat to the police department. They wanted to be a battery charge, sent it over to the district attorney's office. They're looking into the allegations. But the Tribune wrote an article and said, there was no video of this. And so it's a he said, she said. Remember, Ernest was on my show in March 2024, where he talked about the cannabis regulation that requires him to have cameras and that the feeds were sent to the police department and they were always questioning him about what he was doing. You cannot have a medical marijuana delivery service without cameras. According to California Code of Regulations, Title 16, Division 42, Section 5044, they're required to have digital video surveillance systems, and that includes outside. And for another reason, we know that Ernest has the video cameras working. They posted on Yelp to get a good shot. They posted something from the video camera to put onto Yelp to point out who these people were that was from their surveillance cameras. It was not the teenagers up and down shaky thing. It was from the surveillance. They put a still shot. They have to be within 20 feet of all entry and exit points, covering 20 feet. They have to have continuous recording 24 hours, 7 days a week, 15 frames per second, and they must be stored in a tamper-resistant manner and retained for a minimum of 90 days. So I don't think this is going to be a he said, she said, because if they weren't recording, they're violating the rules, and he obviously was recording, and there is a recording of this. There are, they've reached out to multiple people through social media and influencers that have been going after this couple. They've claimed that they're going to go after them, claiming that he made a gun shooting thing with his finger when he left, and that it was a hate crime because he used the N-word. I looked up the rules on hate crimes. If you walk up and attack someone screaming at them using a name, guess what? That can be a hate crime. If you come up telling someone you're going to beat them up and harm them and then headbutt them and they call you that, guess what? Not a hate crime. According to the way the rules work, it's not a hate crime when somebody is the aggressor, and then the word by itself is not a hate crime. Ernest was the aggressor. According to the couple. Now, Ernest is saying he was trying to talk him into selling him pot, and that then he started calling him names. Again, I think we're going to be able to know a lot more about what happens as this case moves through. Last time I looked, the district attorney had not yet filed charges. But again, you've got to realize that both Ernest and his wife have criminal histories. Under the name Grace Johnson, she started in 2003. Grace was charged with 4 misdemeanors: assault, displaying a deadly weapon, disturbing the peace, and giving a false identity to the police officer. She pleaded no contest to 2 of the last 2 charges, and the first 2 were dismissed. That's very common in when you've been charged with something, to have something dismissed. Ernest, on the other side, has a lengthy criminal history that includes felonies. He's had 9 arrests in San Luis Obispo County. 3 were for drunk driving, 2 on a suspended license, assault, battery. One of those was a felony, and marijuana possession. So he's had a number of issues in San Luis Obispo County in the past. I don't even know if he is legally allowed to work in a cannabis shop. When I looked up their records 2 years ago, it didn't even show Ernest allowed to be in the car. When you're a dispensary, you can't have people in your store that aren't working there and approved to be in there. You can't bring your children in to hang out. There are very, very strict rules for cannabis companies. So the reason this is important is because, remember, Ernest Hall and his wife, Chris Bausch was refusing to vote to give Ty Lewis. He wanted to resign in early 2024. And he wanted to resign with money, and Chris Bausch didn't want to do it. And then he filed for a claim, I think, in August, and it was rejected. You know, all this stuff is going on. I'm being attacked. People are after me. And after that, he got the Halls were his sources that there were issues. They made a number of claims, like we were holding meetings. I had actually felt sorry for Ernest Hall and his wife. He got very sick. They were closing the restaurant. They owed me over $3,000. I forgave their money. They literally wrote in this thing, Ty wrote it, and said something that it was a deal that they were going to say stuff about Ty. Well, Ty, that's ridiculous. They never made a deal. I did not. They didn't pay me $3,000, and I never wrote a story about anything they said. What was it? Just say it in your sleep. But anyway, they were Ty Lewis and Bausch were at odds. He went after Bausch. He went after Linda George. He went after Rivera, Glenn O'Hagan, Gary Lehr, and they made false claims against me. And the only witnesses to all of this were Grace and Ernest Hall. I'm going to introduce, we're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and then I will introduce Linda George, and we'll have a caller.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real, Atascadero, and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
I've got deals on latex beds. I've got deals on memory foam beds.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
I've got beds with springs, hybrids, where they got springs and memory foam, or springs and latex, or some with even springs, latex, and memory foam. I've got them all.
Big savings now on mattresses of all shapes and sizes at the Mattress Specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Looking for a great indoor activity to get moving? Try Uncle Ed's Outfitters Indoor Archery for everyone 7 and over when accompanied by an adult. The new archery range is open 24 hours a day with unlimited access and coded entry for members. Uncle Ed's Outfitters would be happy to rent archery equipment or give you or the family a lesson from a USA Archery certified instructor. Book an hour or a day of indoor archery at Uncle Ed's Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 6 in the Oak Shopping Center in Atascadero near Guest House Grill.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name's Karen Vili, your host on Wednesday and Thursdays. I have Linda George in. We're talking about an article I posted earlier this week. It is called Paso Robles Cannabis Seller Facing Battery Charges. So what did, were you, I just had you on a week ago because they were facing charges, or 2 weeks ago.
Correct.
And are you shocked that they're facing charges, other charges?
No. When I read the Tribune article, and I think the first thing I need to correct is the Tribune's title. It should be Everybody Hates the Halls. You know, this whole situation is just part and parcel of the behavior I've been dealing with for the last 2 years. Ever since that last election, I have been in constant battle with the Halls, whether it's legal or not. So I have been trying to express to the courts and to the DA's office that this is their typical behavior. As I mentioned last time I was here, when I go into the meeting, she has, you know, flat tires and raspberries and seizures in her chair when she sees me. So she doesn't really uphold a very, I have a lack of better words, graceful position when she's around anyways. Just as a side note, when I showed my father this article, he told me to get protection. And I think it's just the way that they present themselves is the point that emulates that it's trouble. And, you know, one of the things I said on my Facebook is that they can't get out of their own way.
Will you explain? And one of the things that's very relevant here is that back in 2025, they were trying to get a retail shop and recreational license. And Linda George would go to the meetings and say, you know, they haven't paid their taxes, which they had dozens of tax liens. They haven't done this. They haven't done that. And they shouldn't be getting it. They literally filed a restraining order against her. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, I received that last year. And, you know, I mentioned it, that when the sheriff walked up, he just said, this is already denied, and really chuckled about it. It was still grueling because I had to prepare. I had to prepare that case, and with my atrocious typing, it took me a very long time to do it. But the one thing that I knew for a fact was that everything that I say about them was, you know, true. My main goal was to keep citizens from buying recreational from a company that is not legal yet, just as you would need a state and city approval for building a house. You need the same thing if you're going to be selling drugs. And so I think it's more important with cannabis that any company, not just the Halls, but whether it's Megan's or SloCal Roots, any of them, that they do everything legally so that it's not putting the city in a position to where they could be held liable for not proper enforcement.
And what, you know, one of the things, I listened to this case, and one of the interesting things is the judge told her very early on, I cannot give you a restraining order for people not to talk negatively during a hearing where you're seeking a permit and you're trying to block people from talking negatively about you. That is not restraining order territory.
Correct. And he also added that she couldn't get a restraining order against her business. You can't have a restraining order on a business. So it was interesting. That took a good 3 or 4 months to go through. And she was just, anything I wrote on Facebook, oh, look, she did it again. She said my name again. And I think the most frustrating part about it was I don't really think about these people on a daily basis, but they spend their every day watching me.
Well, the difference is they tried to get a temporary restraining order, and the judge said, no, I'll hear it. But I'm not giving you a temporary restraining order. And Grace was behaving as if she'd gotten a temporary. So every time she said a name, and there's nothing wrong with saying these people don't pay their bills. They don't pay their taxes. They didn't pay me. I know other advertiser media groups, they did not pay. They have a history of this type of behavior in our community, and they have a long history of not paying their taxes. So you had, why they're trying to get the first retail shop, and she's saying, why would you give a group, I don't care if they're from our community, why would you give someone that doesn't pay their taxes, doesn't operate legally, a permit, and they're trying to block it through the court? I found it extraordinary.
Right, and you know, it didn't fare well. I mean, once the judge read my first response, he immediately invoked the anti-slap. Now, had I not quoted that law, I probably would have not won. So when he invoked the anti-slap, Judge Kelly said to Grace Hall 3 times that I set the bar very high for her to be able to respond, that he wasn't so concerned about their tax liens, but he was genuinely concerned about their illegal sales, because I had a video in that case of Ernest actually selling in a burned down parking lot.
And the other thing is you can't deliver marijuana to a parking lot. It's against the regulations in California. We're going to take a break, get a word from our sponsors. We'll be back with more with Linda George, and we'll be taking your phone calls.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.